Well, open your Bibles. This is our last time during this series in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be in verse 18 today. Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible with you, there's Bibles under the seats in front of you. And Ephesians is in the New Testament. Oh, I'd say about seven or eight books from the beginning of the New Testament. What is it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. There we are. Important to get to know our way around the Word, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we've been talking about during this series about how to stand strong in the struggle. And talked about putting on the belt of truth. Had somebody ask me, what's with the belt on the Bible? It's the belt of truth. Buckled about with the belt of truth. That's not only the truth of God's Word, but living truthfully, living with integrity, and being real and right in how we live. Talked about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And our righteousness comes from the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus, right? It's not our own abilities to make ourselves good enough, because we can't make ourselves good enough. Jesus came and provided our righteousness for us in His Son Jesus. But at the same time, we also are called to live out a rightness in our life. Right living is also what righteousness means. The gospel of peace is the gospel that has brought us to a place of peace with God. And it's the gospel that we bring to everybody that can offer to them the same peace with God that we've found. So we have the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, through which we can extinguish every flaming dart of the enemy, because we are in the target, aren't we? We are in the crosshairs of our enemy, because we've said all of this has to do with, there's a spiritual battle going on, isn't there? And it's real, and faith is what will extinguish every dart of the enemy. And the helmet of salvation that we put on in Christ, it's understanding that it is by grace, through faith, that we are saved, not of our own self, but as a gift of God. And that's how we put on salvation. But all of these have one common requirement for them to be of any value or use at all. Otherwise, they're just so many words, aren't they? And the reality that makes these things real, and what makes us to truly be able to stand strong in the struggle, is the fact that these have their foundation in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I was reading a book in our discipleship class. We were talking about it, and I was surprised because they described the Trinity, and they said there are three personalities in one person. And I'm like, wait, what? I read it, and I'm like, that's not right. Like, what is this doing in this book? It's not three personalities. There's three persons, one God. Not three personalities, one person. Three persons, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. And they are all one and yet separate. And if that blows your mind, it should, because it's the same thing as a little tiny ant trying to understand one of us. Never happen, right? We can never understand God fully. But that's what gives power to all these things, is the fact that it's God provided. And it's beginning, its foundations is from a God of great power. And how we enter into that great power is through a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So let's stand together as we prepare ourselves to hear from Him how we can put on this part of the armor of prayer. Let's read together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Lord, just bring this word to a place of clarity for us. Help us to understand through your Holy Spirit. You were sent, Holy Spirit, to guide us into truth. And so we're here asking, Holy Spirit, teach us, God. Help us to understand. Help us to grasp what this means, not just in my head, but in how I live this out, Lord God. Thank you for making this a part of how I can stand strong in whatever struggles are going on in my life. Bring this to our understanding, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. And you may be seated. So I just want to, we've got a lot going on today. We're still going to take some time to have to pray over Jillian and commission her for God's work. She's going on her missions trip to Haiti, and we just really want to ask the Lord's blessing on her as she goes out and serves where the Lord has led her. So we're gonna go through this. It's not a complicated thing, but what a profound, deeply profound thing this is. Pray. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. What does it mean to pray? Talk with God, listen to God. What else? Any other thoughts? Huh? Just talking to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's important, though, how we state that, isn't it? Have you ever had somebody talk to you, but not with you? How many people have experienced that? And you're just, after a few minutes, you're just like, and you're just, it's a one-sided thing, isn't it? And that's never what prayer was intended to be. It was intended to be talking with God. That means, like somebody said, there's times when we speak, or you might write, journal about things. You might just have this ongoing conversation in your mind. But there's also things, it's a time of listening. It's a time of wondering, what do you think about this? What do you say? And that's what having a conversation, I think somebody said, is about. I grew up, prayer was about reciting something or repeating certain words. I think I might have mentioned, there were times I remember when whatever reason, I wanted to either have some prayers answered or I wanted to get closer to God, and I was just repeating the prayers that I had been taught. And I thought, well, I've been repeating and repeating and repeating them. I really want God to hear me, so I started really repeating them with great emphasis and power, you know, from an 8-year-old kid or whatever. And it's not about repeating words. It's about saying, God, I want to connect with you. I want to relate with you. And that's what talking with God is, conversation is. And that's the with part. It's a relationship. It's an interaction. It's a getting to know him and asking him to get to know you. Of course, he knows you, but he's helping me to get to know myself better, really, is what it comes down to. And we're talking with whom? God. Talking with God. Think about who it is that we're able to talk to. It's the God who loves you. God who created you. It's the God who saw you in all of your lostness and brokenness and sin and rebellion and said, I love you still and I'm going to come for you. I'm going to come to rescue you. That's that same God. That same God who loves you. the one that wants you to spend all eternity with him. That's the God that we're praying to and having this conversation with, and we have to keep that in mind. How would you talk to your good father? What kind of a conversation would be? How would you talk to the Almighty God who holds the universe in the, and keeps everything functioning? How would you talk to him? How would you talk to Jesus, your brother? How would you talk to Jesus, your friend? How would you talk to Jesus, the Lord of lords and the King of all kings? How would you talk to the Spirit of perfect wisdom? Well, it says pray in the Spirit. That word in means in. But in the sense that, you know, I'm in the church, right? Now I am in the congregation because I'm in amongst a group of people. In could mean different things. It also talks about our the reality of the Holy Spirit, and that as believers, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, right? It's not so much that I'm bigger than him and he's residing within me, is it? It's like, okay, I'm 5'11", or 10 and a half, or 10 and a quarter, or whatever it is nowadays. And that somehow, in order for the Holy Spirit to fit inside of me, he's got to be shorter than that. I'm in Christ. What does Galatians 2:20 say? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, he's living in me, and yet he's infinitely bigger than me, and I'm in him. It's we try to get our minds around that when we think about praying in the Spirit. We're praying in his presence. He's in me. I'm in him. By faith, I dwell in the midst of him. I dwell in him. He's part of me. I'm part of him. We can't get our minds around all of it. But when we pray in the Spirit, we talk about being indwelt by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit, right? We're led by the Spirit. Does it mean all of a sudden he jumps out from inside of me and goes in front of me? You know, it's part of just my life in him while he is in me. It's so much bigger than what our words can say. And it says, so pray in the Spirit on all occasions. On all occasions. That word occasions there is the word kairos. I've mentioned that there's two different words the Bible uses for time. There's chronos, which means moments of time, and kairos, which means events, or this is a period in time, a moment in time where it was something significant. And that's what he's saying, on all occasions, on all moments in time that are of significance. And it says pray in all these moments in time. But also, it talks about praying continuously. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice always, pray continuously, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is where prayer, as part of our relationship with God, is more than just I talk about it, and when pastor says, do you believe in prayer? I say, amen. This is more than just reading about it, and it's an understanding and saying, yeah, God answers prayer. It's more than just our children saying, yeah, God fulfills all his promises. It is living it and saying, I believe in prayer. I believe that I am to live my life talking with God on an ongoing basis. I heard somebody over the weekend, we had some discipleship training, had about 24 of people here just learning about how can I become a disciple maker? How can I better do that, reach one person this year for Christ? Every one of us reaching one for Christ. And he said it's like a cell phone call in the morning. It's like, you know, you get up, you get online, phone call with the Lord, and you spend some time just me and the Lord just talking. And then time to get up and go about my day. I just put it on Bluetooth, stick it in my pocket, and I go on my way, continuing, ongoing with this conversation with God. I don't have to be talking out loud. I don't have to be, you know, saying certain words in a certain way. It's just this ongoing conversation because my God's always with me. And I can talk to him no matter what's going on at each point in the day. Thank you, God. You know, oh, seeing an accident on the roadway or an ambulance go by, Father, just bless them. Lord, this is going to be a hard day. Just help me to be, you know, help me to my coworker's been getting on my case. God, just help me to be a blessing to this person. It's ongoing conversation with God. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, continuously. And it goes on to say, with this in mind, always be alert. What do you think the this is? This is where you have to, what we're talking about in the Bible study that I lead, context makes a big difference. What does he mean by this? He said, with this in mind, do you think he meant pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, and with prayer in mind, always keep on praying? Does that make sense? Doesn't really make sense. What he's talking about is the bigger picture. He says, with this, remember, what's the this? The spiritual battle that we're in, the spiritual struggles that are going on, all of these spiritual, the armor that you're supposed to put on so you can stand strong, with all this in mind, keep on praying for all the saints. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against your brother. It's not against your neighbor, your boss, your coworker, your school classmate. This is a spiritual struggle. And he says, with that in mind, keep praying. Keep on praying for all the saints. Because guess who Satan's main target is? Who do you think his main target is? Yeah, we are. If somebody is lost and is not walking with Christ, Satan doesn't have to work too hard on that one, does he? He's already out. As long as the person is outside of the kingdom and is not walking in faith, Satan doesn't have to worry too much about that one. It's the ones that are in faith, the ones that are in the kingdom of God, a part of the body. Those are the ones that are in his crosshairs. And you know which ones of those Satan really goes after? Which ones of the Christians do you think Satan really goes after? What's that? Yeah? Ones that are really trying to do his will, that love him? Yeah, it's prayer warriors. It's the ones that are getting down on their knees and going up against the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the gates of hell. Those are the ones he's worried about, because those are the ones that are going to cause him the most problem. Those are the ones that are going to get people saved in and into the kingdom. Those are the ones that are going to destroy his schemes and his strongholds and the things that he's doing. So, yeah. So I'm afraid to say, if you're part of prayer, you got a target on your back. But it's better than being out of the fight altogether, isn't it? Put a target on my back, because I know God can protect me. I would rather be dead center of God's will with all kinds of problems because Satan's on my back, than have everything going right, have all things well with lots of money and lots of good things, but not doing a thing for the kingdom. But see, the problem here, and this is something that God's really beginning to open my eyes to this. Sometimes we want the promise of God's power through prayer, but sometimes we want to take the shortcut. We want, okay, God is powerful, pour out your power in my life. And we want answers to prayer. We want the miraculous. And sometimes what those kind of shortcut prayers look like, they're kind of like the bubblegum machine prayers. Okay, if I put in this coin and I say the right words, then out comes an answered prayer. If I'm like in the foxhole and things are like falling apart around me and I say, oh God, you got to help me. And you just dig me out of my problem, God. We're doing the shortcut. Middle of the night prayers. God, just got to bail me out of this. Just bail me out of this. Take away my problem. Those are the shortcuts prayers. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute. God wants to answer those prayers, doesn't he? I mean, doesn't God hear foxhole prayers? Doesn't God hear those prayers? God wants to answer those prayers. But doesn't it matter how we pray? I think the scripture came to mind where there were some that came to him, and Jesus said, you know what? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will have their prayers answered. I'm not gonna hear every prayer. It's only those who what? Do the will of my Father. There are times when we say, God, dig me out of my problem. Just fix it. But our hearts really are not crying out in faith to God. We just want him to fix our problem. The reality is, and that's what happened in this verse that I talked about, they were doing prophecy and casting out demons, but Jesus said, but I don't know you. There was something missing, and you know what it was? They had no identity with Christ. They wanted the power, but they didn't want to have their identity in who they were, being rooted in Christ. Yes, God wants to answer every one of those types of prayers that I mentioned. And when we come in faith, with a humble heart, submitted and saying, God, I truly need you. Not so much the answer, but you. What does it mean to have your identity? Your identity in Christ. What does it mean? What's somebody's identity? What do you think that means? Who they are? It's knowing what your connection is, who you are. And that's really, in a word, that's really what it is. Who am I? I am loved by God. I am the one that he sent his son to die for. I am the one that was lost, broken, rebellious, and he saw me and loved me and sent his son to die in my place and made me his own child. I became the brother of Christ. I became a subject of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All those things we talked about, that my identity is in who I am in Christ Jesus. And because of who I am, God's power is poured out in my life. We want the power without the identity, and that's not the way that God works. So when I come before Almighty God, I come as his creation. When I come before Jesus as my brother and as my friend, I come before him as his loyal brother, his devoted friend, because of what he's done for me. When I come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I'm I'm his servant, and I'm his ambassador because of what he did for me. When I come before the Holy Spirit as a seeker of wisdom, I come before him just needing it. I come before you, God, I need your wisdom because I don't, within and of myself, I don't have it. And that's, do you see the difference between I just want the power, I want the answered prayer, and that's not how God works. God says, you need to come and find identity in me. And when you find your identity in me as someone beloved and saved through the cross, and you put your faith in him and become his child, his follower, then the power comes based upon who I am in Christ. So when we come to that and we think, okay, prayer. What does prayer mean? Talking with God. Why am I able to talk with God? Because I want something? No, I'm talking with God because of who I am in Christ, because of his great love for me and his desire to pour blessings out into my life. All the difference in the world. And when we say, I'm going to come and I'm going to start praying, it's or I'm going to go to Haiti, or as I graduate from high school, I'm going to give you my future, God. You show me what you want me to do. Why do I do that? Because of who I am in Christ. It's because of who I am in Christ. And it's the most powerful thing. It's this odd thing. It's kind of like exercise. Maybe that's not a good analogy for some people. But I know when I exercise, when I'm eating right, and I get my weight down where I'm supposed to be, you know what? I feel better. Not only physically, emotionally, I'm more positive. I have more a more positive outlook on things. I'm just more confident. It's just part of what it does. And sports, same thing. When we work hard at sports, it's fun when we're good at something, isn't it? Prayer, it's a beautiful thing when we actually do it. It's a powerful thing when we just stop and say, I'm going to take the time. I'm going to take the time. Goals of any kind, we enjoy them when we actually put the effort in to achieve them. And prayer is much the same thing. God calls us to himself, and he expects us to meet with us. He welcomes us into his presence. He prepares time for us. So with that in mind, with the idea of prayer is born out of my identity of who I am in Christ Jesus, how would that affect your morning? How would that affect the way that you go through your morning? The time that you get up, get yourself ready? Are you taking time to start that phone call with God? Are you taking time to open up the Word and just give the day over to him? How would it impact your night? Would it impact your night by the time that you spend at night? Would it impact your night as you take time to pray with your children or take time to pray with your spouse? Or you get to bed early enough so that you have time in the morning to pray. Starts with our identity. I pray because I'm his child. I pray because of his great love for me. How about your drive time? How would it impact what you do, what you listen to? Do you take time in that to just pray? As you go through your day, is there an ongoing conversation with God? Why? Because of who I am in Christ. Because God's always with me. He's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. But when we hear about the house of prayer on Wednesday night, where we gather together to pray for our nation, for our city, for our church, or the citywide prayers times that we gather together for, like the the prayer and worship time tonight, does that our identity say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing. So my challenge to you today is to find your way around the triangle the right way. Not the shortcut. It says, okay, God, answer my prayer. But God, because of what you've done for me and who I am in Christ, because of your great love, I want to see what your will be done. I want to see you working in my life, and I want to pray. And if we believe in prayer, being able to actually live it out and make it a part of our everyday life. Being able to see God, see his handiwork, everything that God's doing. Because God answers prayer, right? He does. And he literally does when we literally pray and make that a part of our lives. Well, we're going to take this time to do what we've